Our next guest is Martin Kremenstein, head of retirement products and ETFs at Nuveen. Of course, Nuveen is among the world's largest asset managers. And on the ETF side, they currently offer 11 ETFs with over $500 million invested in those ETFs, the bulk of which are really focused around ESG investing. So ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. This is investing in a socially responsible or socially conscious manner. This is also sometimes referred to as sustainable investing. And I should also note, Nuveen does offer a handful of unique bond ETFs and a really interesting REIT ETF focused on REITs with shorter-term lease agreements. But our focus today will be on ESG. Martin is joining us via phone from New York. Martin, a pleasure having you on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Martin, first, give us some background on Nuveen's approach to the ETF market. As I mentioned, the bulk of your ETFs are focused on ESG. Most of those launched back in 2016. What's been Nuveen's overall philosophy in approaching the ETF market, and why the focus on ESG?
Sure, yeah. So when I joined Nuveen, it was with a blank piece of paper to build out an ETF business. And so I spent some time really investigating the asset classes and investment disciplines and kind of themes where Nuveen was very, very strong. And everybody knows Nuveen as a muni manager, but we already had a very, very well-rounded out retail offering in the muni space through funds, SMAs, et cetera. And plus, we kind of really feel that the active mutual fund and SMA wrapper is a very, very appropriate wrapper for the muni market. So then we're looking at, you know, what are the other disciplines that we're very, very good at? And we really kind of like settled on three areas. In terms of income, we have a very, very strong taxable fixed income franchise, and that's how we ended up with the yield-enhanced fixed income products that we launched. We also have a very, very strong alternatives and real assets business, and that did inform that the REIT product that you mentioned earlier. And then finally, responsible investing really is something that is a core key discipline for Nuveen, coming from our parentage with TIAA. TIAA has been managing products managing investments in a responsible investment manner for 5 decades now. We're not just a signatory of the UN's principles of responsible investing. We help draw them up. And in our own investments, I think we run around two-thirds of our nearly $1 trillion in assets, according to the UNPRI. And then we have been running client money in the ESG space since 1990 in the form of variable annuity accounts, and since 1999 in the form of quantitative mutual funds. So we really wanted to make sure that we came to the market in areas that made sense for Nuveen as an asset manager, and areas that made sense for the marketplace where we thought there was kind of a lack of product.
Martin, I sort of alluded to this at the top, but ESG can mean different things to different people, and there are a variety of terms floating around out there. I mentioned them: ESG, socially responsible, sustainable. How do you define ESG investing?
Sure, I think it's a very fair point, and I don't think the ESG marketplace has helped itself by the kind of the word salad and TLA salad that we have going on in it. But I think for us, ESG, environmental, social, governance, it's different from SRI. So SRI was the old way of talking about responsible investing. And actually, I'll step back a second. We put everything under the umbrella of responsible investing. And then underneath that, you have SRI, then you have ESG, then you have sustainable or impact investing. SRI, socially responsible investing, that's the old kind of exclusionary kind of responsible investing. So that's saying, we'll take out companies that we don't like: alcohol, tobacco and gambling, weapons, firearms, nuclear power. We'll take out energy sometimes, or utilities. And that's kind of what responsible investing used to be for a long time. And that's really where the old knock on ESG or responsible investing, which was that it underperformed, it really came from those portfolios because they tended to be somewhat unbalanced. They tend to be more focused on what they're excluding than what they were including. Going to the other end, which is impact or sustainable, that's where you can actually show the exact direct environmental or social or government output from a specific security. And that tends to be either very, very niche, narrowly focused equity baskets, or indeed impact bond funds, where a security is issued specifically for to fund a wind farm or to fund social housing. And then in between, you have ESG. And ESG, as I said before, stands for environmental, social, and governance. And for, at our place at Nuveen, we define that as really looking for the factors within ESG that materially affect a company's performance as well as its ESG score.
Okay, so right now your most popular ETF by assets is the NuShares ESG Small Cap ETF, ticker symbol NUSC. And I'm guessing this is a pretty good proxy for all of your ESG stock ETFs. Given the definition you just gave us, can you walk us through sort of the types of screens used here and how stocks are ultimately selected?
Sure. So, and I think it's worth pointing out that NUSC is a great place to start, particularly as we've built the suite out to have a consistent ESG overlay across asset classes, across, and geographies as well. And this is important because we think, as investors build ESG portfolios, having a consistent overlay is going to make life a lot easier for them. And so NUSC, we start with, because there are kind of four pillars for standard ESG, and then we've added in a fifth. So the four, we start with controversial business involvement, and that's that old SRI that I mentioned. And you start with kind of the sin stocks. So you start with alcohol, tobacco, and gambling, weapons and firearms, and nuclear power. Right, so you exclude all companies that have material business in those underlying businesses. Then you score companies under the E and the S and the G. So under environmental, it's around climate change and carbon output. It's around natural resource usage, and it's around waste management. And I think at this point, I normally say to people that, for E stands for environmental, it could just stand for efficient, right? It's which companies manage their material inputs and outputs with the most efficiency. And I think that's important because that is probably a sign of a well-run company. If they're actually managing their supply chains and their outputs well, that's a company that's kind of in control of their processes. Under social, it's health and safety, it's labor management, it's product safety and quality. What that really comes down to is relations with customers, with regulators, and with employees. And again, a company that has good scores on all of those, again, you could say it's another kind of sign of a company that's actually being run well. And then governance stands around kind of the board structure, board diversity, a culture of accountability and transparency, and then business ethics. And I think most people understand governance in terms of what that means for how well a company is run. So you can take ESG and just say, look, these are really just factors by which you can screen for the quality factor without actually diving into the balance sheet and looking for it there. It's just a way of looking for companies that are actually well run. The final pillar here is the controversies, which is, when a company has had an event that's bubbled up, it's hit the news, it's become a controversy, the data providers then go in and assess whether that company has actually fixed that controversy. And if it hasn't, then they'll lower the overall ESG score of that company. And a great example of this is Equifax. So everybody knows about the Equifax data scandal from last year. What they may not know is that actually a year beforehand, Equifax had a similar data scandal, and they weren't considered to have cured their data security and privacy issues by the ESG data providers. So in fact, when Equifax stock got hit by that data privacy scandal, there were no ESG indices out there that held Equifax because its ESG score was so low because it had really done such a bad job curing the prior issues. Another one that is not in our, came up recently is Facebook. So Facebook is in a lot of ESG products. It wasn't actually in our large cap growth ESG, NULG, where it would have normally sat because its previous data and privacy controversies back to 2014 when it had to sign an agreement with the FTC over it, were not considered to have been cured enough, and so its ESG score was lowered. It's not a particularly bad ESG score. I think it's a double B, but within the tech sector, it's not a great ESG score. And that actually feeds us through to the next stage of the process, which is where we select best-in-class ESG leaders within each GICS sector. So what we do is we take all of the GICS sectors, so energy, technology, et cetera, and we take the company with the highest ESG score, then the company with the second highest, and so forth, until we hit 50% of the market cap of the non-ESG benchmark that we started with. So, for small cap, we're starting with the MSCI Small Cap Universe. We've scored every company for their ESG, their controversies, and their CBIs, controversial business involvement, and then we stack rank them within each of their GICS sectors. So then you end up with the high scoring ESG companies, high ESG scoring companies within a sector. And the important thing here is what you're doing is you're comparing like for like. So a lot of the old style responsible investing products is essentially a heavily tech sector dominated basket, because they tend to have very, very low environmental outputs, and they tend to not have particularly bad social scores, so they end up, it's much easier scoring them than it is, say, scoring an energy company. But comparing Schlumberger to Intel is not a great comparison. Comparing Schlumberger to Halliburton and Intel to Nvidia are much better comparisons. And as money comes into ESG, indices, it will actually become much more viable for a company to try and improve its ESG score for inclusion. And that can only work if they're being compared with companies they can actually compare themselves to. So once we've got that best in class, we then do a final screen, and then this is another area where we differentiate. We have a carbon screen. We screen for absolute carbon emissions, carbon intensity, potential future carbon emissions. And a key component of that is that we remove any companies that have fossil fuel reserves. And so that's the final exclusion that we have in there. What that does give us in terms of bias is it gives us a midstream bias in the energy sector, but it does allow us to keep exposure to energy and utilities and still have a significant reduction on carbon footprint within the portfolio. And then the final stage is to then reweight the sectors and optimize them back to the parent index, again, back to this, in this case, the MSCI US Small Cap. So sector weights are limited to within plus or minus 4% of the parent, and for energy, obviously, it's plus or minus 8%, because we need a slightly wider band for that. And then we rebalance it quarterly. And what you've ended up with now is a small cap basket that actually has very, very similar risk characteristics to the small cap universe, but has in fact improved its ESG score versus that universe by 33% and reduced the carbon intensity versus that universe of 68%.
And again, we're talking about the small cap U.S. stock ETF here. Nuveen also offers ESG ETFs covering large and mid U.S. stocks, developed international stocks, emerging markets, bonds. Martin, if I could, a lot's been made about the investment case for ESG. I want to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. And this is something we've talked about on past shows. But flows into ESG ETFs have been rather slow overall. The asset growth hasn't really been there yet. And it seems like there is a lot of debate around why that's the case. Is it that investors are worried about performance, like maybe they're sacrificing something there? Is the overall interest in ESG just not there? Why do you think the space has been slow to get off the ground? Because clearly the topic of ESG itself is getting a lot of attention. So why isn't this translating into ETF assets yet?
So I think you have to kind of adjust the lens. So in terms of our ESG suite, we've doubled in assets year to date, and we've seen flows increase through August, September. It didn't slow in October, November, but the growth hasn't continued to grow because the market's been much more volatile. But we didn't see outflows, so we've seen actually very, very steady, strong growth. So from our perspective, we're seeing flow. We're just a small ETF business at the moment, and so it doesn't look like a huge amount compared to the $3.5 trillion that are in US ETFs. So from that perspective, we are seeing growth. I think though, for a long time, ESG was actually associated with poor performance, and the only way to get around that is to deliver positive performance. So, by the end of this year, our domestic equity ETFs will have a two-year track record, ESG ones. And so we'll be able to show over 2 years, they have not only kept pace with U.S. equity markets in their, and versus their particular segment of it, but actually I think all of them will have outperformed unless something changes drastically between now and the end of the year. So whilst we're not aiming for outperformance, we do feel that long-term, trying to select better on companies through ESG factors is actually going to give a benefit to the investor. But we're definitely showing that it's not causing a drag on performance. So I think because for the longest time, SRI products in particular have underperformed, it is up to us to show the investor base that actually that's no longer the case. So I think that's one thing, and I think we're going to get there. So I think there's a lot of it's around time. Secondly, it's only recently that investors have actually been able to build full portfolios using ESG. Under the old methodologies, you'd generally end up with, you know, one-off products that were basically large cap growth. Large cap because they report more, so you can score them more easily. And then growth because once you've removed energy and utilities to improve your environment score, now you've basically got a growth portfolio. You know, by bringing this suite to market, we're giving investors the opportunity to build real asset allocations with a single consistent ESG overlay. And that message is resonating out there in the market. And as I say, we are seeing good growth in our product set.
Martin, we have about 2 minutes left. What about the role of fees? And if you look at the competitive landscape for ESG ETFs, I saw last week Investors Business Daily had a piece where they noted there were 76 socially responsible ETFs, but only 14 of those had fees of 0.2% or lower. And then they paired that with a stat from Bloomberg's Eric Balchunas that 97% of net flows into ETFs this year went into funds with fees of 0.2% or lower. Do you think fees have been an issue at all in terms of investor adoption of ESG ETFs?
I think historically they had been because some of the ESG products were quite expensive. You know, but I also think that, you know, the straight focus on fees is only when you can't see the value. And so if you're confident that you have a value proposition in your product set, then you should be confident enough to be able to price in what you think that value is. You know, we've never had the fees, you know, of our products be a pushback. We've priced them appropriately, we think, for the market. So I don't think that's the biggest driver. I really think it's going to be around showing track records to investors and advisors that show that, in fact, you're not going to underperform with ESG.
Well, Martin, with that, we'll have to leave it there. A pleasure chatting today. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That was Martin Kremenstein, head of retirement products and ETFs at Nuveen. And you can learn more about Nuveen's ETF lineup by visiting nuveen.com.